Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
HQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. HQ 3, intruder alert.
I love that doorman. I love him absolutely. Good evening. This is your host and co-director, Perry, welcoming you once again to Madam Perry Salon. And it's another... It's more and more fun for me. And everybody. Listening last week, we had Denny Tedesco. He created the documentary The Wrecking Crew, which featured his father, Tommy Tedesco, who passed away a few years ago, Carol Kay, Brian Wilson. Actually, if you know, The Wrecking Crew was a group of studio musicians. I mean, it's like Liz 56. About 40 people. There was the only female in there. And these people played on just about everyone's session or music that you know and love, kind of like the soundtrack to your life. And sometimes it was things that people didn't even know. You might have thought it was the actual band, but it was the Wrecking Crew. Carol Kay created the bass line, the iconic bass line for Beat Goes On for Sonny and Cher. She did most of the work, as well as the other Wrecking Crew, on Pet Sounds for the Beach Boys. I think, as it says in there, somebody said that the band couldn't quit fighting long enough to do it. And besides, Wilson knew in his mind exactly what he wanted, and this was the group of musicians that could create it. So, go back and get the DVD for Crew or the documentary. It's fantastic. Wednesday, we had Deirdre Haidt and William Arntz. Now, William, what the bleep do we know? And his wife, Deirdre, is a poet, author, and mystic. And together they have a new book out called The Not-So-Little Book of Surprises. And we got all kind of fun stuff coming. And don't forget, tomorrow night, Joe Vitale, you know him as a drummer, but he's a multi-instrumental. You know him from working with people like Joe Walsh and so forth. But Joe Vitale tomorrow night. But tonight, I'm so excited. Tonight, first of all, a friend of mine is on. And also, it's about a... Well, I won't tell you how long, but it's a band that I have loved forever. And so everybody's been asking me about this. I've gotten calls all day. The Zombies, who have just toured the 50th anniversary of their album, Odyssey and Oracle. And I, of course, Madam Perry, is just the luckiest gal in town because I happen to have on the line with us, so she's just stepped here in Madam Perry's salon. Hope she has a nice cushion to sit on. We're the author, Cindy DeSilva. Cindy, welcome to Madam Perry's salon.
Hi, how are you?
Hello there. I am doing great, and I am so happy to have you here in the salon with us. The Zombies, this book, The Odyssey, The Zombies in Words and Music, is, first of all, and I've got it in my hand right here, it's absolutely gorgeous. Like, every time I want to read it, I'm afraid, you know, I should put on gloves because I don't want to damage any of the pictures or get fingerprints on them. But I bought it when I went to see the concert a couple months ago. And I remember I made a photo of my husband holding it with the pages open, and people were walking by and stopping and looking and going, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? Downstairs at the merch. Go there now during intermission. But it's absolutely gorgeous. And you have been pretty much on the road and probably halfway around the world with the Zombies in the last year, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Actually, it's been a really, really fun year for the band and for being a part of this team, you know?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I feel like working with them has been so much fun, probably because it's like having a really, really wonderful blank canvas that you can do your best work on. You know what I'm saying?
Now,
because they haven't been overplayed, they haven't been over-marketed, they haven't, in fact, it's been quite the opposite. So had a lot of fun, just taking the time to create the right marketing, the right look, the right vibe for the band. But the band has so much to work with, you know. The songs are iconic, the imagery is iconic, it's just never quite been exposed enough.
It's seriously, because since they did break up just about as Odyssey and Oracle was released. And,
they broke up before it was released, yeah. They never performed it live until 40 years later.
And that was just, that's the thing. It was such a magic moment to see it live on stage. But we're going to get to some of the magic, the special parts of that soon. First of all, though, for my audience, since I've known you, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years now, but the audience doesn't know you, you've been in the music business for quite a while. You're a talent manager. And
yes.
The Zombies aren't the only, well-known band that you work with.
No.
Or have over the last few years.
I work with a really great emerging rock band called Hollis Brown. They toured with the Counting Crows, and they've been all over the place. They just played Mountain Jam this weekend. It was one of the most unbelievable weekends I have ever had. and they're wonderful. And I also manage an iconic singer-songwriter named Bruce Sedano, who wrote so many great hits. He wrote Starting Over Again for Dolly Parton, which was the number one hit. He wrote Bad Girls. He co-wrote Bad Girls with Donna Summer. He's just an amazing songwriter and human being, and he's got a brilliant new record out called 21st Century World that's out now. Really, really brilliant record, and it's all about our world today and all the little things that are going wrong in it. So check that out. And I also manage an artist called Don DeLego, who has a really great record out for about a year now. It actually won the IMA Awards for Best Alt Country Song. The album's name is called Magnificent Ramé, and the song was called Drive Like Pirates, and it's a lot of fun.
I like that already. Yeah, and you better be bringing them on my show. You better be sending them in here to me, because I've been meaning
to
ask you too about Hollis Brown anyway. Bruce co-wrote Bad Girls. Have you seen the video of Jamiroquai doing that?
Yes.
Do you remember? Jamiroquai, and it's a duet with Anastasia.
Yes,
yeah.
Look up
here. I'll be your bad girl. That is just phenomenal. So, I'm definitely going to get him here. So you've been in the business for a while and certainly well-respected in the music business. And so I'm just lucky
to
know you. But so then you're on tour, okay? Then you and I used to talk. Once you start going on the road, I have to follow you like all your other friends have to follow you in pictures and tweets and social media. Like, well, here she is now with the bundled up with the zombies, having in the cold place, having dinner somewhere. And I'm going, that's the life, and that's the right woman to be doing this, to handle them. So tell me about, because see, if it wasn't for the if I didn't like you, I'd be jealous, but I like you, so I have to go she's the right one. But so tell me about how all this got started with the book and you and the guys. Just give me a good starting point here.
Okay, so basically about 5 years ago, I had my own agency for quite a while, and I just kind of was at a point where I wanted to do something different. I wanted to be a part of a team. I wanted to try something different and for a minute not be the leader, so to speak. So I actually interviewed with a company called TCI. They brought me on first doing some stuff for them, and then I ended up starting the management division with Chris Tuthill, my partner, because they were an agency, a booking agency, not a management company. Although they were booking the zombies and they were doing a lot of managerial things for the zombies, just because zombies didn't have a manager, and they would come on these long tours to America and they would do, you know, the logistics and help them out in ways that a manager would normally do. But there wasn't like a cohesive full plan, and Chris wanted to do a lot more with the band, but, you know, it wasn't an official capacity. The very first thing that I got the opportunity to do, the very first thing that I was given as a challenge was, okay, you can take them to South by Southwest. Nobody at TCI had been to South by Southwest. I think I had been to 13 at that point and thought, oh, my God, this is a chance of a lifetime. Take this iconic band to South by, but nobody has heard from them in so many years, you know? So I started making phone calls, called up the South By team. They were amazing. They gave me almost everything I wanted immediately. Paste Magazine reached out to me and asked if we would play the Paste party, and I said, of course. Waterloo Records offered us a show, and it's funny because I remember arguing with my boss at the time about this, and she said, you know, don't put them in an embarrassing position because it's a record store, Cindy, and, you know, like, imagine if nobody shows up. And I said, no, but it's South by Southwest, and people do show up, and it's a very big deal. Please let me do this. And she said, okay, fine. You can do it, but it's on you. If it fails, it's on you. If it goes well, it's on you. So I remember driving up to the show, and I knew, I had a good feeling. Everything was going really well. And I remember my partner calling me on the phone. And he's like, Cindy, how close are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm about 10 minutes away. I still have to find parking and everything. He's like, Cindy, there's over 1,000 people here, and we're still an hour before the show. And I was like, yes! And we were opening it.
So oh, my gosh.
They were all there for us. And by the time we played...
Oh, my gosh.
By the time we played, the entire parking lot was full, up to the barricade, beyond the barricade, across the street, and into the next block. There were over 2,500 people in Austin in that one parking lot for that one show. And all the shows were like that. It wasn't like just one. It was all the shows, but it was amazing. And it all worked out, you know? So then at that point, we spoke to them about a little soon after we went to England, and we talked to them about being worldwide managers for them. That was great. The guys are the sweetest to work with. They're amazing human beings. They used to look at me pretty funny at first when I would come up with one of my crazy ideas, like South by, but then they would go along with it. And now they don't even, you know, every once in a while they'll say, okay, we're doing too much. But most times they just go over, along with whatever I say because, you know, the trust is there. The proven track record is there. You know, we've been able to do so much. And honestly, over the last year and a half, their Spotify numbers have doubled. We have over 1 million.
Really?
A 1.1 million dedicated listeners every single month. That's crazy. You know what I mean? That's crazy. 1 million people across the world listen to the zombies every single month on Spotify. Just one platform. So
that's just Spotify. Yeah.
That's just Spotify.
Wow.
And so we went back I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please, girl, keep going.
So we went back to South By in 2015, and I hit all the other stuff on my bucket list for them, which is we played this Rolling Stone party. We played Stubbs, and actually it was pretty awesome. We actually played at an off hour at Stubbs and still had the place completely full. So that was fun. And Bill Murray was there watching from the side, and the Kimmel people were there. It was amazing. You know, it was just really cool. So in 2015, we decided to put out a new record. Well, we decided to put out a new record. They wrote it, they prepared it. I went to England. The album's called Still Got That Hunger. I went to England and went to Abbey Road, went to Metropolis, went to a bunch of different places, interviewed about five or six really great producers, and finally we decided to do this with Chris Potter. We did it at a studio called ARC, State of the ARC Studios, in London, and it was really an amazing experience. I wish I had been there. I was not there for any of the sessions, but the record came out exactly how I wanted it to. We fan-funded it to Pledge. We have an amazing fan club and an amazing set of fans across the world that paid for that record to be made. We put some fun things together for them. And then we released this record. It came out very successfully, hit the Billboard Top 100 chart the first week out, which was super cool. And at that point, you know, I was kind of like, okay, this is cool. Where do we go next? A few months later, we ended up getting a call from our label saying that our little indie label from Brooklyn, The End Records, had gotten bought by BMG. And so, of course, I wanted to meet the new team. Luckily, we got the best of both worlds because we got our dedicated team from The End Records. They're still working on our project, which is cool because, you know, you always want to get bigger, but you want that personal touch. And thank goodness, you know, Sarah, Caroline, Andreas, Leo, Jonathan, they're all still with us. And we get the benefit of working with BMG as well. So in our very first meeting in L.A., and they bring us to their huge offices, and it's so cool, and, you know, the Hollywood sign is behind us and the hills and everything. And they said to us, you know, what do you have going on? And we told them, you know, we have X, Y, and Z going on, which I'll get to in a minute. And they said, oh, those are all really wonderful things. One of them being the Odyssey and Oracle tour that you saw. They said, what is the one thing that you, if you wanted to do, you know, what would be on your wish list, what is the thing that you would still do? And I said, well, I have this great idea for this book. And quite honestly, it was pretty funny because I had never really, the book was an interesting idea. I had, in that Pledge campaign, one of the things that we offered were handwritten lyric sheets. And towards the end of it, this one fan asked for the entire Odyssey and Oracle album, plus a couple other songs. Asked for handwritten lyric sheets for all of those. So
wow.
I know, right? It was insane. He had something like 15 lyric sheets that he requested. This guy named Joe in Chicago, that's all I remember, but a shout out to Joe in Chicago, because it wasn't until I saw them all together in front of me that I was sitting there saying, I can't. Something has to be done with this. You know, it's too cool. These are handwritten lyric sheets written by Rod Argent and Chris White and a few from Colin Blunstone, and I was like, we have to do something with this. And so I went and took them to De Gaulle's in the city, and I got them scanned in high resolution, and I was like, yeah, he's going to get the originals, but I'm going to do something with this. I don't know what. At first, I thought I was going to do, you know, what do you call it? Lyrics on, like, a tote bag or something. Because those can be cool. But everybody does that. So, like, maybe not. And then I went to England. And Chris White's wife is an incredible artist. She's a visual artist, and she made all the individual art pieces that you see with every song, and they were so gorgeous. They were like collages with mixed media and medias, and like just they were so cool. She had about 6 of them done or 7 of them done for the songs in Odyssey and Oracle, with handwritten lyrics in there and all these like hand-cut pieces of paper and fabric and all kinds of cool things. And I thought, oh my God, something has to be done with this. And I started seriously talking out of my butt, girl. I was like, well, I'll just put these into the book. I was like, I'll just put these in the book. And she's like, the book. I'm like, yes. If you don't have these handwritten lyrics, we're going to do a book with them. I started talking like completely I don't know where it came from. It just started coming out, you know? So then when I'm in this meeting with DMG, they're telling me, well, you know, this is great. This idea for this book is super. When were you thinking of putting this out? And this is September, mind you. This is September of this past, like 2016, right?
You're kidding.
And so I go, oh, no. And this is the first time I really spoke to anybody besides Chris or the artist, right? This is the first time I'm coming out. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'd like to put out this book in March with the tour because otherwise it doesn't make sense. You know, that's when we'll have the biggest market. And they kind of looked at me and they smiled and they were like, that's nice. You want to put out a book in March and it's September. We love the idea. We don't think it can happen. Like, and they brought in Scott Bomar. Scott Bomar is the head of their book department. And Scott was like, this is really great, but how can we write this all this fast? And I said, well, that's easy. Let the guys tell their own story. All you have to do is interview. And so what Scott and I ended up doing, we interviewed the guys. And we let them do the talking, and Scott taped it all, and then he transcribed it. And we were able to get song by song, play by play, guy by guy, their story, their version of what happened back then. And the reason why was because they were never really happy with how people portrayed them. They always, mm-hmm. you know, they had these early photos that had not been, the one thing that the zombies will always tell you is they were mismanaged in the 60s. They didn't have anyone styling them. They didn't have anyone telling them what to wear, telling them what to do. They ended up, in that sense, self-managed. And, mm-hmm. you know, they were schoolboys. So the schoolboys would show up in their school uniform until they were told to wear anything else. So then at that point, the labels were just saying, well, let's you know, talk about them as if they're the scholarly crowd, you know, because they went to art school. And so we'll just, you know, talk about their grades, how you know, how many A's they have between us, between them, or B's or whatever, like, you know, in English terms, not American terms. The grading system is a little different. But so they ended up looking like or getting typecast as geeks, which, you know, now that we have a million other geeks in this world and it's more accepted and it's more hip, it's fine. But back then it mm-hmm. wasn't. And it's probably one of the reasons why they didn't get blow up as big as the Stones and the Beatles and whatnot. You know, they weren't being portrayed in that cool way. They weren't being styled.
You know
what? Positioned, right?
When the box set came out, and I remember hearing an interview with them. It might have been with Terry Gross on NPR, Fresh Air.
Sure.
And because I remember I was supposed to go to work somewhere, and I remember I sat in the parking lot and was late to work because I wanted to hear the end of this. I wanted to hear this whole thing, but. But I was listening to that, and that was one of the things they talked about was that they were always, you know, misunderstood, mismatched, too polite. You know, whereas the Stones and the people like that would just go wild and do crazy stuff and just be obnoxious and all, everybody would make a fit over them. And yet there they were thinking, well, you know, we should go and be polite and be gentlemen. And that just didn't, you know, didn't seem to get them anywhere. And it was a doggone shame. Now, right after that, Cindy, is when that happened, I think right after that, or not too long after that, was when the tour came. I think it might have been around 2004 or 5, because I was at Georgia State then, and I remember seeing on the bulletin board just this little pink paper printed out, photocopied, very cheaply done, saying, the Zombies at the Masquerade on this date. I'm thinking, well, surely it's not the Zombies. But it says the Zombies, so I thought, oh, my goodness, this is too good to be true, because this is too, I mean, it's like just a little printed out, no picture, no nothing, just like it could have been just, you know, Joe Blow down the street, you know, or somebody that's calling themselves Zombies or whatever. And so I checked it out, and then I went to it with some friends at the Masquerade. And they, of course, it was, you know, that place was packed because it had three levels. It was heaven, hell, and purgatory. And so it was packed. And then afterwards, you know, I got my pictures made with Rod and Colin and Jim, and they autographed my box set and everything. Because one of my friends with me was a photographer for one of the local music papers. And so he made some great pictures and stuff. And so they autographed, and it was just great. But yes, same thing. They were just so polite, and yes, they were horrible. You know, I kept thinking they were so mismanaged, and that's why it makes it even happier to see them come back in such big style like this. And I wonder too, you know, I just can't imagine, you know, your manager finding out that at the time, thinking, oh, well, okay, if it goes bad, it's on you, whatever, and then seeing that there were that many people waiting.
Yeah,
before,
well, I mean, the cool thing is, look,
for this,
look. I don't want to take credit for all of this. Like, Chris had been trying. Like, they were starting to come out with some hipper. Like, I remember at the office there was a really cool poster made for the tour that the Zombies did with Love at one point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they were progressing. He started with them, and they had not, like, it was nothing. You know, they had nothing here, not a presence. And he was working with them and building them. But, like I said, without someone else there, and don't forget he was their booking agent, too, so overworked in that sense, right? And he was the office manager, and I can name all the, you know, millions of things he was doing. So, you know, and without also that stamp of approval from the band that, hey, you have this position, you know, this is what you do. Because I started slowly, but then, you know, over the years, have been able to do many things with them creatively. Like, for example, we did their very first shoot with Andrew Eccles, who is an incredible photographer. My girlfriend, Cynthia Altarizo, helped make that happen. She introduced Andrew to the band. We did a shoot for Spirit and Flesh, which is a magazine. It's a glossy, fancy thing. And that was interesting because while the guys were dressed in all this great Barbados clothing, it was kind of picked and not you know, they gave in their sizes and stuff, but it doesn't mean that something right off the rack fits you the way it's supposed to fit you. So we took some great photos, but they weren't really comfortable with the editorial and how that came out. And that's how I ended up doing their next photo shoot. We had a shoot scheduled with Andrew. We were supposed to work with a producer, and all of a sudden that producer started trying to charge us more than we could afford. We're in an indie band. We're not, you know, we're still small in many, many, many ways, you know, and our budgets are super small. So when that kind of fell apart in the middle of the morning that we were supposed to shoot, I should have panicked, but I just kind of went, okay, something's going to have to work out here, you know? So we ended up going to the shoot, and I was like, telling the band, bring whatever you have. We're going to have to figure this one out, right? So they were like, well, Cindy, you dress up. Mm-hmm. It'll be fine. You know, we'll be more comfortable anyway in our own clothes, and you just style us. And I was like, okay. Did bring a very, very talented makeup artist, a girlfriend that I absolutely adore. Her name is Natalia. Oh, God, she's got one of these beautiful, you know, these people that have, like, five names? Something like that. She's very exotic. La Quintana or something. But Natalia is what I remember, and she's brilliant. And she's, you know, so she came, and Converse let us use their space. And Andrew Eccles was shooting. And, again, you know, I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, thinking that, you know, I mean, I always put myself, I don't mind getting my hands dirty, you know. I'm always like, mm-hmm. whatever this takes, whatever this is what I'm doing. And, you know, so I figured I was going to be like the gopher running around and grabbing everything. And Andrew grabs me and goes, excuse me, you have to stay right here. And I go, why? You're shooting and you've got your assistant. And he's like, you're my creative director. So I was like, what? Andrew Eccles is telling me I'm his creative director? Oh, my God. You know what I mean? I'm thinking this is the guy that, you know, films, shoots the Alvin Ailey dancers, the Rangers, you know, the hockey team. He's telling me. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm just sitting there. And then I realized, oh, it's because I am that one person that kind of ties everybody in. The band's comfortable with me. Photographer's comfortable with me. Okay.
Right.
Well, did I creatively direct? I don't know. But I did make sure everybody looked good and they were comfortable. And we took our we did our very first photo shoot with photos that have, you know, now been in every magazine. And it's cool, you know, and then we actually were able to do a shoot in London recently with Hugh Grundy's daughter, and those photos are all in the book. They came out gorgeous, again, you know, styled by me, whatever that means. And then taken very candidly and very comfortably with four guys that are really good old friends. And you can see that in the photos.
Yeah.
And you can feel that, and that's lovely, you know. And I guess if they were those huge rock stars from the get-go, they wouldn't be that nice
mm-hmm.
towards me, and they wouldn't be that nice towards everyone else. So in some ways...
Well, it just seems like it's just their personality. Is like I said, from the interview, from about how they were way back in the day and so forth.
Yeah.
And also,
yeah.
When, let's see, and honey, if they didn't feel, I think it's a matter of knowing that they've got the right person there, and you made them all feel comfortable, and they knew that you knew what you were doing. They knew that you would know what to do. You'd make everybody feel comfortable, and you'd make everything look right. I think when you're in the right place at the right time, things will work out for you. And you know, too, I remember back in, first of all, let me say,
go ahead.
One sec. If you're listening live right now on the 20th of June, the Madame Perry Salon, my guest is Cindy DeSilva, and talking about her book, The Odyssey, The Zombies in Words and Music. If you would like to call in and talk with Cindy, ask her a question, the number is 646-716-9922. That's toll-free in the continental U.S. And again, 646-716-9922. You know, I remember even when in 2005, which was the year that I saw them, year before at George in Atlanta, they had been performing, I don't know if they were in Canada or somewhere, benefit in New York at B.B. King's Club for a guy named Mike Smith, a drummer for Dave Clark Five, and he had asked him, needed some money for some medical bills, and I think
correct.
The zombies, what were they were trying to get there, and they were something they couldn't, and Dave Letterman, or Paul Schaefer finds out, because he's involved, Paul tells Dave Letterman, and he got him a plane and flew him out.
Yeah, he flew him.
Is that right?
Jet.
Is that how the story? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My partner Chris was part of that. I was not anywhere near them at the time, but yeah, they made it happen. They've made it happen, and it was really cool. And I think they got there like 3 hours late, and people still hung out and still were eager to see them perform, and it was awesome. That's what I heard.
Let me go back to your book now.
The one thing I wanted to mention is that I don't know if you guys know, but I will say this. The zombies are pranksters. They're jokesters. They're pranksters. They're very, very, very funny.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I have a ton of outtakes, video, and photos of them being very naughty and very funny. And so a lot of times when they're laughing, they are making fun of me as they're shooting. So don't say, you know, like, they will sit there and poke and whatever, but it all turns out great in the end. So don't think I don't get razzed as I'm working with them. I do, but it's all fun and games, and they're brilliant, and I love them dearly. So it's all good.
You know, Cindy, it sounds like with, you know, I've had a jazz combo for years playing around, and sometimes with my musicians, I can't afford for anybody but me to be the weak link, the weakest link. So they're all so good and so much better than me. But there are times when we're on a roll and the energy's high and they all start going in their own directions playing, and I said, you know, I feel like I'm the headmistress at a school for some very gifted and very mischievous musicians. You know, that's
absolutely
how I feel. And that's what it sounds kind of like there for you, you know. Like,
yes.
You know, you're in control,
absolutely,
but you're the headmistress, and they're gifted and mischievous. Talking back as a book, and like I said, I remember when I went on, when I went down during intermission and got the book and came back up, and my husband and I were looking, and people would stop and be looking over our shoulder at it. And one of the magic things about it, I'm going to mention just a couple of things, and then you can talk about whichever ones you want, whatever order.
Sure.
You did mention the handwritten lyrics, which we have, like from Rod Argent and Chris White, and the one that it's just such, when we saw that, it gave it such a personal and magical feel. And another thing, too, was all of the artwork, which was done by, Chris White, multimedia artwork done by Chris White's wife, and help me with her name, Vivienne Boucherat.
She's brilliant.
Vivienne Boucherat,
and
who was also a singer and who was also
awesome,
there that night.
Huh? Oh yeah, she sang background vocals. When we do Odyssey and Oracle, she is one of the background singers. She does background vocals with Jim Rodford, and let me tell you, she's brilliant. She's got a great voice. She was in an award winning Bulgarian folk choir. And that's not an easy thing to do, to sing. It is. She's really, really talented. She's a writer. She writes. She's just, and honestly, just an amazing, amazing all around human being. I have to say, the zombies are all really lucky. They're all married to unbelievable women. They're all really good women. Yeah.
This sounds, I think I remember in the NPR interview, them talking about, you know, their wives, their family, very close. And Rod Argent always shares pictures of his family on social media and things he had. They all seem real close. I think the only funny one was they were talking about how do your wives, your families like you leaving now? And they were all talking. And then I think Colin said, oh, I'm home so much, my wife is glad to see the back of me, you know. But you could tell.
It's true.
He just blew your leg. But,
this
with her artwork just really gives.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Sorry. The artwork definitely brings – so I have to say two things about the artwork. The artwork – her artwork brings every song to life. And we were able to find a guy by the name of Jameson Mundy, I believe. Oh, God, I'm going to be so embarrassed if I get it wrong. Jameson animated this artwork for our Odyssey and Oracle tour. But it's brilliant. You can – if you didn't get a chance to see the show, you should check out their YouTube channel. It's just the zombies. And all those animated lyric videos are in are up there, and you can watch them, and they're actually quite beautiful. I was really, really happy with what he did. But, yeah, Viv's artwork is brilliant. And Terry Quirk, I can't forget to talk about Terry Quirk, because Terry Quirk is,
I was going to ask, yeah.
Yeah, he is he's a genius all of his own, right. And he's also a huge part of the Zombies family and has been for a very long time. He wrote, he painted the iconic cover to Odyssey and Oracle 50 years ago. He shared a flat with Rod and Chris White, and he told me endless stories about how, you know, Rod had a piano in one room, Chris had a pump organ in the other room, and that all the noises that would come out of those rooms while they were writing. And, And he painted that beautiful cover, and then I guess I met him about 2.5 years ago when, out of the blue, I decided, you know, he should paint the new cover. He should do the cover of our new album. How would that be? And he was really happy to do it. He made us a more modern version, which was really cool. It's very still got that Hunger artwork. It's gorgeous, and it actually has some really cool imagery in there. Inspiration was kind of taken from some of the stuff that we did at the outside of the Converse Studios in Brooklyn. I didn't realize it. They're zombies. So we took pictures of each zombie in front of zombies, but like graffiti style art zombies. You know what I mean? And it was pretty brilliant. And here's where, again, Andrew Eccles blew my mind, because he just put each guy in front of the right art. And when we ended up with the individual photos to the inside of our CD, I was like, holy crap, I would not have thought of this. Not the way he did, no way. You know, like, he's a genius. And then what was I gonna say? So then I said to Terry, I said, oh, this is brilliant. You know, when you finish it, if you could just DHL the photos to me, the art to me. And then I'll just scan it, and then we'll do this, you know, you'll do the artwork for the new record. So he had been talking to me about working, you know, representing him as well. And we had been talking about a much-awaited exhibit launch at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which we can get into in a couple of minutes, because that is now going to happen on July 12th. But he, you know, casually said to me, oh, yes, so I put it in the mail to you, and I put something else in there, too, for you. Just, you know, so you have it in your care. And I said, okay, well, what else did you put in there? He's like, oh, I just threw in the original Odyssey and Oracle artwork. And I was like, wait. I'm like, how much did you insure it for? And he goes, oh, I didn't. I didn't want to call any attention to it. For 1 week, I was like barely breathing, waiting for this iconic artwork that's now insured for $75,000 to arrive at my home.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And for,
oh, wow.
And for a year.
I can imagine.
And for a year. Yeah. And then, of course, it arrived in perfect mint condition, and it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And it sat here in my house for a year before the Rock Hall finally took it. I was so happy the day that I handed it off to somebody, you know, because I was so nervous that something would happen to it. And I have a crazy old hunting lodge. I kept thinking to myself, what if the mice come back? You know? What if they eat this beautiful piece of art? I'm like, oh, my God. But thankfully, it's safely in their hands. And now we're launching this beautiful exhibit This is probably the first announcement because I probably should just be quiet because they haven't even announced it yet. But July 12th, for anybody who's listening,
July 12th,
we're launching an exhibit at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
you know,
Museum in Cleveland.
This is, I gotta say, Madame Perry's Salon has been I've had people giving up. Okay, this is the first place. You know, you're gonna hear it. I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. I've got quite a responsibility. Or people, okay, we're gonna announce the winners of the plane tickets on your show. Oh, okay. So, hey, girl, you fit right in. You're in the right place. It's safe. You're safe with me.
You know why? You make it easy. You make it feel like I'm just gossiping with you.
Well, that's why we stay here. You know, it was one of my first guests was the one that said went on later on and said, yeah, being there is like being inside a genie's bottle. And I thought, yeah, that's why everybody
that's
should
funny.
Sit here and find your own cushion and get comfortable when they come in.
That's
so,
right.
All of the people that you have, well, you got the foreword by Tom Petty. And,
yes.
You know, I kept on Sirius XM, I kept the Tom Petty Buried Treasure channel on that was the number 6 button, and he plays the zombies, always playing the zombies. You could count on one zombie song, sometimes two in every show. And then you've also got quotes from, so the foreword is from Tom Petty, and it's absolutely beautiful. And
thank
then
you.
Also what, Carlos Santana, Brian Wilson.
Yeah, Susanna Hoffs.
I mean, you, Christopher Cross, you.
What I wanted to show is how diverse Patti LaBelle, how many people have been influenced and love the zombies. Paul Weller, you know, from The Jam. I mean,
I'm a Paul fan.
It's gone across all kinds of music. And believe me, I didn't even get to the Dave Grohl's and the M&M's of the world. Do you know what I mean?
I'm sorry, Cindy. We got a caller in here. Hi, welcome to Madame Perry's Salon with Cindy DeSilva. Come on in and
Hi.
Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Carol.
Hi there.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Cindy. It's
Hi,
Carol.
What's your name?
Cool. Oh, hey, Carol.
Hey, Carol.
Cool. How are you, Cindy? I'm good.
I have
how
a question.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Oh, yes. You mentioned that the zombies have a million Spotify listeners.
Yep. Every month.
Which is
a
fabulous.
Million people across the world listen to them every month.
Fabulous. Since the zombies were nominated twice to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, how do you plan to get those million Spotify listeners to vote next time that they come up for a nomination?
Honey,
good question,
I think... All I can say is this. All we can do is put them out there, get their music heard. I think even more importantly than those million people voting would be the 900 people that actually vote people in. And I think we have quite a few of them now. We really do. We have quite a few of them now. It's just a matter of time. I mean, I think the exhibit will help. I think the book helps. I think every little piece. I mean, I wish I could focus more on that, but you know what? We have a brilliant fan club with people like you that help get the word out. So all I can
and
think
like
of
you,
is
that stay on top of it and make it happen.
Oh, thank you, Carol. I appreciate it.
Hey, bye. Carol, what's your favorite zombie song? Carol.
Oh, my favorite zombie song is Hope. Hold your head up.
Oh, yeah.
That's yeah.
And you know what, Carol? You probably knew this already, Carol. You probably already know this. But I know when I went to the show back, what was it, Cindy in April, the Hourglass, the tour, and Rod Argent, you know, they're always so proper. He made a point at the beginning. He says, people always sing along. They always sing along to this song, the chorus. But I got to tell you, people think they're singing that the words are hold your head up, whoa, but it's not. It's hold your head up, woman.
I thought it was Norman.
And I had never realized that. Woman. What, you thought it was Norman?
Yeah. I thought it was
woman. Norman. Yeah.
I thought it was Norman.
I like
yeah,
it, Carol. You need to come back more.
Yeah. Yes, yes, you're right. He does correct because he's right on point.
Yeah, he does.
But anyway, it's a pleasure speaking to you, Cindy. Have a beautiful summer.
Thank you, honey. You too.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Thanks, Carol.
So I just wanted to point out before I forget that Terry Quirk also did the cover for the book, and he did all the O's throughout the book. Every song has a different O, and every O is as thought out as Viv's art. You know what I mean? He's done a person of interest in every O.
Uh-huh.
You know, whether it's Charlie Chaplin or whoever.
Brilliant. Yes.
Yeah, okay, and it has to do with the song. Yep. Although,
wow. And the song,
say,
yeah.
I had to send one back and make him redo it. Because Terry's secret love, Terry's secret love, more than anything, is Mickey Mouse. And I told him, Terry, we will get in so much trouble if we use Mickey inside that O. So he came back and did something else. It was hung up on a dream. Because what bigger dream than Walt Disney?
Cindy.
Yes, dear.
You won't believe this. The page I had in front of me when you were telling the story is hung up on a dream.
That's awesome. I love it.
Because I was going to say, here's hung up on a dream, and it has a dream catcher inside the O. And so I was going to wait until you finished and say it, and then you said hung up by going, okay, I love synchronicity like this.
Yeah, because his initial thought was, what bigger dream than Walt Disney creating Disney, you know?
Yes, who believed in doing the impossible.
Sure. But now we have a dream catcher.
Magnificent.
And now it's special. Yeah.
I love it.
And actually,
the
it's funny because
so
one of the fans actually brought me a dream catcher at the show in Seattle this year. So that was cool. And it had nothing to do with the book. She just wanted to give me a housewarming gift. Really sweet.
Oh, well, that's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we have, like I said, we have a solid fan club. A woman named Susan Enderline runs it right now. We usually change every couple of years or so because it does consume people's lives, and it's a lot of work. But Susan does a great job, and she's got, you know, we've got Maggie Clark, our photographer, and Kara is a big part of our. She was street teaming for us for a long time. And, you know, we've gotten a nice – Annette Hasbrook, another really great woman who runs stuff. She has, like, her own little fan club out of Colorado, which they're really just, you know, loyal fans. It's amazing. And it's been a huge, wonderful adventure.
You know, I'm looking to this page because I'm a big Paul Weller fan too, and I'm looking at the page, his quotes in here, but I'll just read the very last two lines. It says, "Thank you, Rod, Colin, Chris, Hugh, and Paul for touching my life with your beautiful music, and I'm so glad the world finally woke up to what you all achieved all those years ago. This will last forever, Paul Weller." Yeah.
You know, the rumor is that this is his favorite record. And if he meets someone that doesn't have the record, he goes out and he buys it for them. That's the rumor. Yeah, I mean, he's told the boys that, so it can't be that much of a rumor, right? So how cool is that?
Right. That's the Mod Father. I believe him. Hey, I've got another call here. Hi, welcome to Madame Perry Salon. I'm here with Cindy De Silva. Come on in.
I thought I heard somebody else.
Adele, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Hi. Come on in and say hello to Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Hey,
hi.
This is very, very interesting how this all came about.
Thank you.
Of course, we've all been fans for, you know, 50 years or more, and it's great to see them vibrant and well and doing great. I see that this is the first, as we all know, BMG.
Yes.
Puts out some of the greatest records, and
yeah.
is a gigantic group. And this is it true that this is the first book that they've put out
on
their publishing company?
Yes, it is. It is.
Wow,
they put it out together with this British company called Real Art Press.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, everybody involved was amazing. Scott Bomar, I have to thank him personally, and David
uh-huh.
Hirschland, and all the people at BMG, because they believed in an idea that I had, and Scott and I worked our butts off to make this happen. We really did.
Uh-huh.
All throughout Christmas, I thought, you know, the music industry usually dies down around December 15th. Scott and I were working on this book relentlessly all throughout Christmas and New Year, but we delivered it on time, and they produced it on time, and it's the first book out on BMG Books, and I think it's so super that they took that chance.
That's quite an honor to be to be in the first book by such a great. That alone should sell some books. I know everybody in the music business is anxious to see how it's going to turn out, and I'm sure it'll do great. It just looks like, especially corresponding with the, I'm sure it'll sell more of their 50th anniversary Odyssey. 50th anniversary CD that's out.
Oh, that's a great addition too. It has some
uh-huh.
extra tracks and everything. Yeah, it's really well done. Really well done.
Yeah.
Really well put together and well timed. So
yeah.
Thank you.
And you know, Cindy.
Uh-huh.
Well, and Duffy, while you're on here, Duffy, I want to say too. You know, Cindy, when I got even more excited when I would be in Marshall's or TJ Maxx shopping and hear this will be our year on the air, and then you posted the video from The Middle, the show The Middle.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's been amazing how many people, how many brands, how many... The zombies are being played now more than ever, really. You know? More than ever.
Mm-hmm.
We just did a commercial with Kohler. We had a Chanel campaign going for years. It was supposed to be 1 year. It went for like 3 years. That's been amazing. It's been amazing. They have a good publisher. And it's been great.
My only problem right now, I don't know about you, Duffy, but my only problem right now is that our hour is up, and this has just flown by too fast. And, Cindy, you've been so generous with your – I know when you said, because, you know, I'm a publicist, and I work mostly with authors. So I know when you said back in the fall about having a book, and they said, when do you think it'll be out? And you, you know, give this little short period. I know they were probably just gobsmacked, like, okay, is she a genius or is she just totally naive? And of course you end up, of course, a genius. And but of course you're a genius.
No,
you and Scott worked
totally
your you. No, but you worked your behinds off, as you said, to deliver. Once you got in, they realized, oh my gosh, this is what we got to do. You worked yourselves like crazy and got it done, and got a gorgeous book here. Like I said, when people kept walking by looking for the book, and they go, you can't touch mine. You have to go downstairs and get your own at the merch table. So it's a great book, but you can go get your own, you know. So thank you so much. And I hope that that you will come back again and talk to us, because this
has been so
energizing to have you here. And
Thank you so much for having me.
Folks, go Ann. It's an absolute pleasure. And come back anytime, folks. Get your own copy of The Odyssey. The Zombies with Words and Music.
It's the time.
Cindy De Silva.
The
I love you, Cindy.
When the love runs high in the dark, give it to me easy and let me try.